Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Did you give it up? 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 Heard a lot of talk about the ocean.
April 17th, 2025, a mass shooting occurred on the campus of Florida State University. An active shooter opened fire near a student union area around noon, prompting emergency alerts and a lockdown. Students and staff sheltered in place or evacuated as gunfire was reported. Two were killed, six were injured. Members, we were all here that day a year ago, either in our committee rooms or in our offices. We all saw the news, we all got the alerts. It was a scary time. I was a student during that time, and on my phone, I was in group text with some of the students on campus. And we were texting each other, are you on campus? I'm not there. I'm in the Bellamy building. I'm over here. It was a tough time. It was a scary time. School was shut down for about a week. We came back, and it was a different place. But the question was, what are we going to do? What's next? How many times is this going to happen before we make it a safer place? And as a student and a lawmaker, I was uniquely qualified to answer that question.
Michelle Salzman on the floor of the House advocating for HB 757, which has had a couple of committee substitutes. The Guardians Bill, you might think of it, that's not the official name. In fact, they changed the name in one of the amendments.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment simply names the bill the Armor Act, Active Response and Mitigation of On-Campus Risks Act.
So we're calling it the Armor Act now is the official title of the bill. A couple of the details here. Number one is it's going to harden campuses, much like the Parkland bill hardened schools. Number two, it's going to expand the Guardian program to include post-secondary education, which is colleges and universities. And so also expanding it to allow for faculty, select faculty who are approved to be able to carry as they become guardians, essentially, whereas in K-12, the teacher cannot become a guardian. This would allow upper level education where they could become guardians. Also, it's going to go through some training on assessing threats and making sure that's done, and reporting tools for clear emergencies, like having software, basically, so that you can instantly and quickly report emergencies like this at the spur of the moment. Lots of stuff went into this bill.
We took every piece of what happens in a response, and we found a way to create tools in the toolbox so that we don't let this happen, so that we can find before it happens. It's about prevention. And that is the bill, Madam Speaker.
And all kinds of little things went into this. For example, what happens if a kid who's dual enrolled gets expelled from his high school for making a threat? Does that information get conveyed to the college that he's also attending?
If you have a kid that's dual enrolled in K through 12 and they're in college, if they have an incident of threat, violence, or weapons, they have to notify and transfer that notification to the dual enrolled higher education institution, so that if a child is suspended or expelled from that K through 12 system, that higher education system is notified. We've had an instance reported where a child did that. They were expelled, and then they went back. They were still dual enrolled and were still attending college on the campus university.
So it's solving a lot of the problems that we have seen crop up as gaps in the system, or our concerns because they're fact patterns that would interfere with the ability to keep, for example, the college or university safe, even down to the training. Maybe the local sheriff has backed up training in the county. Can you go out of the county to get the training to a neighboring county where they have the capacity to train people sooner?
Yes, it's the same training, because the training is uniform. That's done by the Sheriff's Association. This particular issue that we're facing is there might be a sheriff in one county that doesn't have availability of training for 6 months, 8 months. So this bill gives them permission to go to the next sheriff over and apply for the training program through there. It changes none of the qualifications, none of the training. It just says that you can change what sheriff in Florida does the training. And the cost. It also controls the cost, and God bless you.
It's such a Michelle thing. She's just like that. I love it. So there were several proposed amendments. Almost all of them failed. Well, the ones that Michelle herself proposed, and this is a committee product that, you know, this has been worked on by a lot of different people. So it's not just hers, but she's the one leading it, obviously, and passionate for her because of her connection. You know, she's obviously very pro-gun. In any case, put all that together. This is the bill that came to the floor of the House. And what did the Democrats do? Well, they tried to stop it a bunch of different ways, and none of those worked. But they did raise one objection that I thought was, you know, it's the most obvious objection, and it's also the one that I think deserves a little bit of attention. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
If you need to sell or buy a home, you want to get the best expert advice you can get, somebody who really knows the market, who really knows how to get deals done and make them work. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Starting 3 years ago, their team sold 175 homes. Starting two years ago, it was 165. Last year, it was 209. The top sales organization in the whole area, they sell a lot of homes, four a week on average, over and over and over again. That's a lot of experience, knowledge about what people do and don't like, what prices they will and won't pay, how to get objections overcome, how to get problems in the closing process overcome, and even how to help you buy a new home. I know a lot of times you think, like, why would I need a realtor to buy a new home? Just go to the builder. Yeah, but she knows what the builders are willing to give you that you may not know. What concessions, what buy down of the points or the closing costs or other things might they, you know, what upgrades might they be willing to throw in? She'll tell you, nope, that's an unreasonable request, or no, that's a, you can ask for that for sure. And we can get it. And then afterward, when you take delivery, she'll help you walk through the house and make sure it's what you ordered, because, you know, sometimes you're reluctant to point to too many things, like you know, one, two, obvious, fourth thing, and I can't feel like, I don't know if I should complain too much. Yeah, it's a brand new house. You can complain as much as you want, but she's there to help you and see, that's wrong. This isn't as wrong as you think, it's okay, and she'll give you that judgment and that advice. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. All right, back to the floor debate in the House in Tallahassee this week on HB 757, the Armor Act, which would expand guardians and school hardening and a bunch of other things related to school safety to the university or the college campus. Angela Nixon, who the only thing I can say, what was the phraseology I came up with last time? She's not the most talented legislator in in the House. And that is being as nice as this young Christian man can be.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Rep, I appreciate.
Oh, but sorry. This is about the proposed amendment to not allow TAs and professors and adjuncts to become guardians, okay? That was the big objection, is they do not want the people teaching in the classroom to be able to carry guns in the classroom after having gone through training and background check and all the rest. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Rep, I appreciate this amendment. Look, our professors and they should just be focusing on teaching. They shouldn't have to worry about being pseudo protectors or that type of stuff. And again, they are not really fully trained. Like 144 hours or whatever is not enough training. We literally have law enforcement officers that are shooting unarmed people. And so now, and they have way more training than these college professors would have. And so I am just really concerned that we are putting our students at risk.
It's like she thinks what you do while carrying a gun is think about the gun all the time. I mean, I carry when I go to the movies and I manage to enjoy the movie. I carry when I go to the grocery store and I manage to shop for onions and rutabaga. I don't ever shop for rutabaga, but, you know, ground beef and milk, and it never distracts me. Like, it's not an issue. It's so funny. Like, they seem to think that carrying a gun becomes your whole identity when you have one. It's just bizarre. We don't want people to be distracted from teaching. You know, I studied martial arts for a long time. I was never distracted from teaching by the knowledge that I could sidekick somebody while I was teaching. It just isn't an issue. And having a gun is the same way. But she did have I really learned something about Democrats who are anti-gun in this conversation.
And then, you know, I have like a security team, and they try
nice.
To like have me.
I mean, isn't it nice to have somebody else protecting you anyway?
And they try to like have me practice pulling a gun out and that type of stuff. And I ain't good at it. And so I can imagine a gun being turned on the professors. I just, it's just not, I don't think it's a good look. So thank you for this amendment.
I just,
I ain't good at it.
Okay, well, you know, that's why you train. That's why you practice. That's why you unholster and aim and, you know, I mean, and if you're not good at it, then don't apply to be a guardian. Some of the rest of us manage to accomplish basic physical tasks successfully. I don't know. I just thought that was hilarious. You know, I ain't good at it, so nobody can do it. Maybe not everybody is appropriate to have a certain responsibility. Robin Bartleman.
I like this amendment because it lines it more with what we see in our public schools. It was important to not have someone who was engaged in teaching. So if you like, in our county, for instance, our safe school guardians, not only do they have a psychological, the training approved by the sheriff, their only job is to walk around that campus as the good guy with the gun. And so when you have someone that's locked in a room or teaching or engaged or doing a lab, that isn't always the best scenario. So this aligns it, in my opinion, better with what we see in the school system.
They really think that if you're carrying a gun, that's the only thing you're capable of doing, and that's everything you're thinking about all the time. Christine Honshofsky.
And I just think it's very important that we let the people who are teaching teach. Let them fully focus on teaching, not get distracted from that. And if we actually care about security, we're going to hire people who their only job is security.
What do you think happens in the brain of the history teacher who's carrying a concealed weapon after having gone through the extensive background check and training to make him a guardian? It's a weird point of view, but okay. Also, by the way, you do have a fundamental difference between, for example, a high school campus and a college campus. High school is perimeter controlled, access controlled. If you're an SRO or a guardian at a school, you can get anywhere on that campus within 2 minutes of running, probably, maybe anywhere shorter than that. How do you do that at UWF or PSC? The idea of having, you don't have perimeter control. All the doors are open. And anybody, if there's a problem and you're at one end of the campus, it's, you know, minutes because it's a small city. That's why you want them in the classroom right at the point of response. Now, I personally think that you ought to allow guardians to be, you know, allow your K-12 teachers to be guardians. But a university campus is so fundamentally different from a high school or middle school campus that this notion that, you know, they should just let the guardians, well, you'd need 10 or 20 of them. Plus, again, the perimeter security and the door access are just so completely different. Marie Paul Woodson. Oh, I am not going to get to play all the clips here that I really want to play. She had a comment. I'll just deal with this briefly. She says, basically, if you wanted to carry a gun for a living, you should have become a cop. You can do both. Why should you have to choose not to have the ability to defend your classroom just because you chose to be an English professor? You know, I always hated it when I was teaching that I couldn't protect my students. I was prohibited from carrying a gun on campus. So if somebody ever came into my classroom, it was my, you know, aging kung fu knowledge between them and the kids. And, you know, a sidekick ain't much good against a 9mm at a distance. I mean, it's something, but it's not much. I wanted to have my gun, and 9mm is a much better defense. Anyway, so Michelle Salzman comes back and closes on her bill, and I thought she did such a great job explaining things.
Look at the success of the Guardian program. We've had the Guardian program in the K-12 education system for quite some time, and we've had no school shootings, and we've had a lot of near misses. Those near misses are because we've had those risk aversions, we've had those risk assessments, we've had the mental health resources, we've invested all of those things that have proven to be successful. All of that is in this bill currently.
And so you build on a program that has worked. I mean, how many shootings have we had? We haven't, right? That's the point. It's been very, very effective, and this applies all the lessons that we have learned to that. And it's worked in K-12. Why not expand it?
I also want to just make sure that everybody understands that the professors have to opt in. We're not asking anybody to do it. A professor has to go to the Board of Trustees and say, I would like to be a guardian. The Board of Trustees then has to say, we think you're an appropriate fit. Then they have to have already had their concealed license, their concealed carry permit. They have to pass the background check, and they have to go through all of the same screening and training that other guardians do.
Yeah, It's not forcing anybody in. And for the fears about having your, you know, your teacher be armed, I just had somebody text in, I'd much rather be in a classroom where I knew my teacher was carrying than one where they have no ability to protect me. I often think kind of the other process is like if you're maybe a parent or something, you say, well, I don't want my kid in a classroom with a, you know, a teacher who might be anybody who's carrying. Well, then they shouldn't be in that classroom. Like, if you won't trust the teacher with a gun, you shouldn't trust the teacher with your kid's mind. You know, the problem is not in the gun. The problem is that there's not enough screening and vetting and discernment about who's actually doing the teaching. She also says there's an annual review to make sure that the program is working properly, that there are not significant complaints or problems. And then it's funny because after the Democrats debated, the Republicans basically offered no debate, went forward with the vote, and it was 83-25 it passed. Now, unfortunately, this is one of those we're kind of seeing if it's going to get through in the Senate. Frankly, I don't have much optimism, but I love this bill. It does all the right things in expanding the stuff we've learned from K through 12 to the university or the college campus. And it does the one key tweak, which is it allows the teachers or the adjuncts or the, you know, TAs to be able to carry on, you know, in the classroom as long as they go through the process and volunteer for it, which is, I love this bill. I think it's fantastic. 725 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7-minute delay through that construction zone. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, graveled roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
Discouraged? Defeated? Disappointed? You're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
As the lead agency for our regional continuum of care, Opening Doors of Northwest Florida helps coordinate funding, data, and community planning to strengthen our local response to homelessness. Waterfront Rescue Mission is a community partner. As a recipient of HUD funding, they use those dollars to help support emergency shelter operations and provide critical services to individuals in need. Together, they work to strengthen housing stability across our community. Sponsored by Tel Staffing and HR, empowering you to get back to business.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Are you
good? You know, one of the things that I did learn from the Democrats in this discussion is they really believe that nobody should be carrying except cops in the military. That's their view. And so it's incomprehensible on top of letting people carry it all that because they think it needs to be only a professional. Only a professional can be safely entrusted with it. And I was thinking about like cars, you know, it's kind of like saying, hey, thousands of people die every year in car crashes. We ought to only have pros driving cars. It shall be public transit or pros. And that's all there should be in order to cut down on the deaths. Well, you know, there's a lot of benefits to driving cars. Like there's a lot of benefits to having private individuals carry guns. But it was an interesting click for me that the Democrats who are opposed to this really do believe that private individuals should not have guns and should certainly not be carrying them around. David Wayne is in the newsroom. You got a headline or two for us, David?
I sure do. Well, how about this? Shia LaBeouf is headed back into rehab. The movie star was arrested in New Orleans over Mardi Gras for allegedly assaulting a couple of people in the French Quarter. Yesterday, LaBeouf was ordered by a New Orleans judge to begin substance abuse treatment. He also faces charges of battery and has yet to enter a plea on that.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, brewing brouhaha between Pam Childers and the Visit Pensacola and the TDC.
Fox News, I'm TJ Papa. He occupied the Oval Office from his inauguration in 1993 until January 2001. Today, he'll be answering questions from the House Oversight Committee.
Former President Bill Clinton was featured in several photos in the Epstein file, some showing him with celebrities and another one of him in a hot tub. He has never been accused, though, of wrongdoing. And Hillary says her husband ended ties with Epstein years before he knew of his crimes.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting his wife, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, appeared before the committee Thursday.
I never went to his island. I never went to his homes. I never went to his offices. So it's on the record numerous times.
The Clintons are not accused of any wrongdoing. The U.S. ambassador in Israel telling embassy staff, if you want to go, leave today as tensions are heightening in the region. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, starting off with light rain, 65 degrees today. Brooke Richardson will have our full forecast in just a few minutes. In Santa Rosa County, Commission Chairman Colton Wright opening Thursday's meeting with a solemn request for prayer for deputies and first responders, Wright referencing the tragic death of 6-year-old Valerie Oliva. Authorities say the child was stabbed to death Tuesday night inside her Milton home. Wright said he spoke with a deputy about the scene and described it as deeply traumatic for those involved.
Just keep our deputies and everyone in public safety and first responders in your prayers. What they saw and what they had to deal with was pretty atrocious.
40-year-old April Oliva is charged with murder and remains hospitalized with self-inflicted stab wounds. She made her first court appearance Thursday by video from her hospital bed. A pretrial detention hearing is scheduled for Monday. In federal court, sentencing has been delayed for a Walnut Hill man who pleaded guilty to multiple weapons charges. 26-year-old Joshua Hardy admitted to possessing unregistered silencers, a destructive device, and a firearm with an obliterated serial number. Investigators say they found a document labeled Manifesto on his laptop, referencing a potential killing spree and naming targets. Hardy first came to authorities' attention after accidentally shooting himself on his family property last July. His attorney has requested more time to obtain mental health records and a psychological evaluation. Hardy remains in the Santa Rosa County Jail. A new government report has identified unexploded munitions near a sunken battleship off the Pensacola coast. The Army Corps of Engineers says 8 ordnances were discovered buried a few feet beneath the seafloor around the USS Massachusetts, which was used for target practice in World War II. Experts say it's unlikely beachgoers or boaters would ever encounter those since they are covered by sand. The Corps is evaluating their next steps, and they say anybody who spots a suspicious object in the water is urged to just leave it alone and contact authorities. Well, in Milton, work on the city's natural gas line replacement project is shifting into new neighborhoods. Construction near Elmira Canal and MLK Jr. Drive is wrapping up. Crews will be moving on to Saratoga Street, Lexington Street, and Yapon Drive. That phase out is expected to take around 60 days. The city says residents whose gas service is temporarily shut off will get a free gas relighting service by a certified technician. Well, college basketball fans are getting ready for the Sun Belt Conference Tournament at the Pensacola Bay Center. That starts March 3rd, runs through the 9th. Conference officials say the partnership with Pensacola continues to grow.
It's a great destination for our fans, a great destination so that they can put on the calendar, our teams can put on the calendar. Everyone's always excited to kind of conclude our regular season and obviously at our tournament for the conference in Pensacola, everyone has that kind of marked on their calendar, whether it's fans or coaches or student athletes.
And the tournament includes 28 teams from 14 schools. The Sun Belt recently extended its agreement to keep the event in Pensacola through 2030. Well, Pensacola Beach lifeguards are headed back to the towers this Saturday. Casino Beach will be staffed daily now from 8:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. The team includes 10 new lifeguards and 65 returning guards who completed more than 60 hours of open water and emergency response training. Last season, lifeguards performed 359 rescues and handled over 130 major medical calls. Let's check in with John, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. It's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 9-minute delay in that area. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly so far. Good job. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Now our full forecast with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be dealing with a chance of some showers through the morning hours, 70% chance of rain, high near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies, high near 71. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Heading into Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 57. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 67 and rainy right now. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors are anticipating the release of January's Producer Price Index, a measure of wholesale inflation. Economists polled by Dow Jones see the headline reading coming in at 0.3%, while core PPI, which excludes energy and food prices, is also anticipated to land at 0.3%. Data drops in 10 minutes. Novartis and GeneTech are suing a U.S. company and a Canadian pharmacy over the importation of a Canadian version of their allergy medicine. The lawsuit said the importation of the drug, which has strict shipping and temperature controls, potentially put patients at risk. Virgin Australia reported strong first-half profit growth despite rising cost pressures, as the country's number two airline remains disciplined about adding capacity. Virgin said it planned to add about 2 to 3% capacity in the second half, ending June 30th. This is down from 4% in the first half. Futures are moderately lower ahead of inflation data that will be dropping in 10 minutes. That's Your Money Now.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few if any fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
local,
dependable.
Dependable.
So there has been discussion previously at this board, at this council, regarding the timing of reimbursements. There have been concerns over reimbursements getting dragged out to the point where, as a point of order that, not point of order, whatever, Visit Pensacola has to have an operating line of credit in order to cash flow the work that they do on behalf of Escambia County, because the timing of getting the reimbursements is being dragged out.
Okay, I had kind of heard about some of this behind the scenes and hadn't yet seen it come out in the open just yet, but David Baer, talking to the Tourism Development Commission, those are the folks who oversee the decisions about how to handle the tourism development tax or bed tax, the 5% that people who come to our hotels pay and that goes into this fund that's about $20 to $22 million a year that then has to be spent on tourism-related things like building a bay center, a new bay center, or, you know, it's money like that is being used to renovate the athletic fields up on 9 Mile, the John R. Jones complex, because that's deemed a, you know, a tourism investment kind of concept. Even the Chappie James Memorial, part of the debate was whether it was a tourism eligible expense because you can only use these funds on certain things. Okay, well, Visit Pensacola, you may not remember this, but about, 11, 12 years ago, the Chamber of Commerce in Pensacola spun off into three different agencies. The Chamber wanted to keep its membership roles not in public scrutiny, so they remained private, and they are a private entity. They spun off Florida West, which became the economic development arm for the county. They get public funds, and they're a transparent sunshine organization. And then Visit Pensacola, which is the tourism arm. They do, you know, advertising and promotion. They try to get people to come here and spend their money here so that we can all live better lives based on the sales tax and everything else. So Darren Schaefer is the head of Visit. And the problem here, from their point of view, is that they're buying ads or buying, you know, spending money. But Pam Childers' office, the comptroller and the clerk of the court, Pam Childers is holding up the payments. And because she's holding up the payments, they are having to essentially go out and get a line of credit and pay interest because of the carrying costs, or what, you know, business people call cash flowing, of the, you know, the advertising that they're doing. And that's costing Visit money, and it's also making it really hard to do business because they can't count on getting their reimbursements. That's what David Baer is bringing up here as a discussion point at the TDC.
Several different issues that are of concern. One is that there are expenditures being made. A report is being produced to document those expenditures. It's being submitted to the county, which has been reviewed and then turned over to the clerk's office. The clerk's office reviews it, rejects it. Without real detail of what's being rejected, without real two-way communication with Visit Pensacola so that they can get the details of what it is that's being rejected that they could either correct or explain or fulfill, whatever. And so it's causing them to have to get an operating line of credit to cash flow the county's tourism development. I think that's really unacceptable. I don't know that this is my personal opinion of it being unacceptable makes any difference to anyone.
So as you hear, you know, if the payments are delayed, that's causing Visit to not have operating money, so they have to get a, you know, a line of credit, which costs them money, and that inhibits their other activities, plus the uncertainty of when they're going to get their reimbursements. All of that is what David Baer is calling unacceptable here.
A letter that came from the clerk's office talking about the timing of reimbursements cannot be made until the actual, if it was a expenditure for advertising, that could not be, those expenses could not be reimbursed until after the advertisement is placed and run. And because of an accounting principle of when you recognize, it's a GAAP principle where you recognize your expenditures on your financial statement, and therefore you can't, the clerk's office will not reimburse that until it's recognized. And those are two completely separate issues that the clerk's office is conflating, which is causing more delays in reimbursement.
Because if you buy a series of ads for the next 6 months and she won't pay for the ads, but you've had to pay for the deal you got on a 6 month ad buy, and you're having to wait until the ads actually run to get the reimbursement, that's causing a problem. Again, this is, you know, this is all one perspective from what David Baer is saying, but this is the issue as they're experiencing it, or he perceives it.
agencies go out and place advertising. Many of you know you're in business, you do advertising. When you place, if you can buy in bulk and in advance, you can get a discount and you can spend the same number of dollars and get a much larger impact. So many people do that. Many agencies do that. Visit Pensacola does that. And the clerk's office will not reimburse it until it's actually the ad has run. That could be 6 months from there. That could be 3 months, 6 months, whenever it was that was purchased in advance. That has nothing to do with accounting principles.
And so he's saying it's an inappropriate withholding of the reimbursement payments, and that's causing Visit this stress.
I think we're going to start to see a decline in tourism based on this information. It's surely not acceptable for an agency that's acting on behalf of the county to have to get an operating line of credit just to fund those operations. That's
because if Visit can't do its job of promoting the area, they're going to have to pull back on ad campaigns and promotion, and that will cause a reduction in, you know, vacationing, because ads definitely do pay off in, you know, vacationing. And
who's paying for the interest that's being accrued on that loan? Is the clerk's office going to pay for that? Shouldn't, because I know the appropriation agreement says it can't pay for that. So now it's taxing an organization because of these reimbursement delays. It is literally taxing them. They are paying interest on a loan to do marketing on behalf of the county. I just think this is ridiculous.
So Visit is trying to be a good steward and buy in bulk. They're getting their payments delayed, so they're having to take out an operating line of credit in order to cash flow that delay. They're not having good communication. They're not being told exactly what's wrong with the request for payments. This is going to cost them interest on the loan, which the clerk is not paying for. And there's all of these problems related to the dispute between the clerk and Visit Pensacola, or the comptroller in Pensacola, Visit Pensacola. And we'll come back to this in just a second, because, I mean, I think this is likely to become a pretty significant story, because we're talking about lots of money, right? And again, the TDC budget is like $22 million a year. I don't know what the Visit budget is, but I know it's a lot because we do a lot of marketing, which makes our quality of life pretty good because of that. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Drainall, your one-stop shop for all your drain cleaning needs in the Pensacola area. Call Drainall and get your drains flowing again. Let's see here. We just had, no accidents to report to you. That's good news on that. Just seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Highway 90, Avalon, and 98 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, you hear Dave Ramsey talking about him, you hear me talking about him, you see the license plate frames and the bumper stickers driving around town, you know there's that big Buffalo over there on Beverly Parkway. You've all driven past it. So they have about 300 cars. They sell about half every month, so they have to restock and buy about half every month, about 150. But what that means is that the salespeople there see a lot of cars from all different manufacturers of all different trim levels, because they deal with cars that are almost new but not brand new. And because they're not invested in any particular brand, they'll tell you what people like and don't like and what they trade in and why and what they're unsatisfied with, because they follow up, they find out. And so you can think of them, instead of thinking of them as your adversary like we often do with used car place, think of them as your ally, as like kind of a guidance counselor for cars, literally. You can ask them with the hundreds and thousands of cars they see, what do people like? What don't they like? What am I not knowing about this car that I should be aware of? And they can help you figure out what fits your budget, what fits your needs, and make sure, like, you know, an expert helping you. That's the idea. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the TDC conversation. Again, so far, of course, I have only been presenting, you know, David Baer's perspective on this, but I think it is essentially the same position shared by, you know, Visit Pensacola with Darren Schaefer. And the concern again is that the clerks are, the comptroller's office, it's the same. It's just one person does both jobs. The clerk oversees the courts, the comptroller oversees the finances. Anyway, so we kind of use these terms sloppily. But the point is, she's withholding reimbursement payments for Visit Pensacola for what they say are unclear reasons. The reasons that do seem to be clear don't seem to make sense, because they're costing Visit interest money on a carrying loan for the ads they buy in bulk in advance, which would seem to be good stewardship of maximizing your financial impact. But also, it's starting to cost interest, and that means that that's extra money lost. So that's kind of starting to offset the benefit of buying in bulk. And none of these things seem to make sense. Mary Hoxing, who sits on that board and she on that commission, she is also my boss, owns these radio stations.
In the ad-
and her background is all in advertising. Like, this is her bread and butter, is understanding advertising. Like, as long as she's been in business, she's been in advertising.
In the advertising world for radio and television stations across the country, if payment doesn't come in within 60 days, the salesperson who handled that account will lose their commission on it, at which point they're going to stop working hard for Visit Pensacola and could get to the point where they ask you for cash in advance for every buy that you place. So that's a concern to me. If it's taken so long, you're pissing people off across the country.
We're aware, and by, I mean, our goal is to get people paid in a timely manner. I mean, that we all want that.
It's crazy, she said, kind of off mic. That's Darren Schaefer's voice, and you know, that's one of the problems, is if you are withholding a payment, and withholding that payment takes 90 days, then the person who sold you the ad doesn't get their commission. Well, they're not going to do business with us anymore. That, again, that's kind of the phrasing of the problem or the objection, among the other things. Charles Baer raises the point that he doesn't think this is actually a TDC issue. This is more of a BCC issue, since they are on par with the clerk being elected and able to deal with these things. It's not really the fight for the TDC to be taking up.
So as Councilmember Baer down there said earlier, we just recommend things to the county. I really think this discussion needs to be had at the county commission. Got a commissioner here. We can't make the clerk do anything. It's unfortunate it's happening, but this is not our fight. This is the county commission needs to work this out with the clerk. So I don't know why we're talking about this in the TDC. I just don't think it has nothing to do with you, Darren. I just don't know why this is something we're talking about, because we can't affect this other than maybe make a recommendation that the clerk pay things on time. You know, that I just don't feel like it's our battle.
And, you know, I give Charles a bunch of grief because he's always the, you know, sort of the no vote on everything. And he's always got some kind of a little bit obscure way to be against everything. I actually agree with him. And one of the things he's emphatic about is who's responsible for what. And I think there's not enough awareness among elected and appointed officials about what they are and are not supposed to be doing and what is their lane. So I tend to agree with him about this. You know, I'm sure, you know, David views this as a problem for TDC because a lot of their money through the unified budget, that's the advertising budget that goes to Showcase, that's all, you know, this is all part of their domain. So I get why he brings it up as well. So here's the thing, you know, this is one side of the story, right? And I don't know what Pam's response will be, you know, or, you know, when she might be available to comment on it. You know, I'll reach out to her and see, you know, what the possibility is. So in lack of a response or her perspective on all this, I'll give you a couple of thoughts. Here's my first thought. I don't think it's usually a good idea to bet against Pam Childers. Just generally speaking, it's been my experience that she's right about the things that she objects to, criticizes, whatever. So if it really just comes down to a, you know, he said, she said kind of case, in this case, I don't have the she said, but I'm sure there is a she said, and I will trust that it's usually the right view of this stuff. Again, not knowing any of the details, but that's my, just generally speaking, it's been my experience. Don't bet against Pam. Second thing, I don't totally understand this domain enough, you know, or all the rules, but here's a thought. I actually think it's kind of prudent for the comptroller not to pay funds for ads that have not aired yet. Why? Well, because what if she pays and then they pay and then the ads don't run? You know, some ad company in Nashville that we pay to do ads might go out of business, might just refuse to do the ads, or, you know, we've already paid them. Now what? If you wait until proof of performance before you pay, then you get performance before you pay. That actually, you know, that seems like a prudent approach. It might be inconvenient. I get it. And the carrying loan, you know, the cash flow, the carrying costs kind of thing, the operating loan, I get that that's inconvenient too. But the reason they're in the position to be having to suffer the loss of interest money on a carrying loan is because they're buying in bulk and getting a discount. Well, is the discount bigger than the interest? Is it a net savings or not? And if it's not a net savings, then, you know, you might complain about, well, we're not able to buy in bulk anymore. All right, so you're not able to buy in bulk anymore. If it makes sense to withhold the payment, then the option of buying in bulk and not cost having carrying costs just isn't available. That's not an option you have at your disposal. You either buy in bulk, get a savings, and pay interest on a carrying note, or you don't buy in bulk and you maybe lose a little bit of, you know, benefit there, leverage, but at least it's not costing you extra money to carry a loan. You know, so I mean, somebody's either got to be willing to cash flow the ads, or you're going to just have to take a different approach to how you buy ads. I agree with Mary. You can't wait 60 or 90 days, but is that Pam's fault or is that Visit's fault? And I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of working in the dark here based on one side of the story. So generally speaking, my theory is number one, and as far as communication, you know, it's generally been my experience that Pam's very good in open communication. She will answer your questions and your objections. So I'm not sure that characterization is accurate, but I really only have the one side of the story. I suspect this is going to be a pretty big story coming, but we'll see. And I certainly hope, for the sake of our county, for the sake of our TDC, for the sake of our clerk and our comptroller, and for the sake of promoting, you know, tourism here and for Visit, I really hope this can all be worked out and quickly, because it's obviously causing problems, and that's not good for anybody. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you're experiencing about a 7-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-983-2077 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-983-2077. That's 800-983-2077. What do you have to lose? Call 800-983-2077. Again, 800-983-2077.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 983, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Let's go, I'm bored, let's go.
Good morning, 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump will be in Texas today. He's on what's being called his affordability tour. He's in Corpus Christi, where he'll be talking about energy and the economy. His visit comes before the Texas Republican Senate primary next week, and the president has not endorsed anybody yet in that race. Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei says he will not give in to Pentagon demands that include letting AI systems spy on American citizens. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth said if Anthropic doesn't change its mind by the end of the day, there could be dramatic actions.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Not only are they threatening, they're threatening to delist them as a safe purveyor for in the United States. Like, they're really using their weight to push on them to be able to take out the protective safeguards against mass surveillance and against autonomous systems being armed. Both of those are real key concerns here. Local talk.